The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. I actually have some words of encouragement for you this week, but before we get into that, I want to remind you that we are in a spiritual fight for the future of this nation. The truth is that in every sector of society, the church must be engaged in a spiritual battle for the future of this nation. And you know what? God is moving. Things are happening now. But we, the church, must be the light in every arena. When you think about the economy of a nation, the security of a nation, maybe the crime rates, all of these different sections of our society, it's true that they are affected by policy, and they are affected by trade relations, and also geopolitical, situations. All of these things play into the circumstances a nation might find itself in. However, as the church, first and foremost, we have to view things from a spiritual lens. I want you to think, for example, what happens in 2 Kings chapter 17. You see, the king of Assyria comes up and attacks Israel. It says in verse 5, the king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. Now, there are many reasons why this may have happened. For example, if you existed at the time under the rule of King Hoshea, you might have had a lot of complaints. Oh, well, Hoshea is not securing our borders correctly. Hoshea is not building up our armies correctly. You know, we should create an alliance with the king of Syria because we don't want to go to war with him, right? There's a lot of political moves that could have happened in place, maybe that you could rationalize to avoid this conflict, right? It's like, surely Hoshea could have done something. Surely the Israelites could have done something if they had maybe approached the battle differently. If they had fortified Samaria differently, they might have had success. But the next verse tells us the reason why this happened. It says in verse 7, all of this took place because the Israelites sinned against the Lord their God. So the reason why the king of Assyria was successful in sieging Samaria, taking all the Israelites and deporting them to another place, out of their own homeland, the reason he was successful was not because of any military strategy or any political policy. It was because the Israelites sinned against the Lord. I'm using this as an example because this geopolitical circumstance happened because of a spiritual issue first. And in order to remedy that spiritual issue, you have to approach it as a spiritual issue. So the Israelites would only be rescued from this situation if they turn back to God, right? So let's bring this to the modern day. There are many things going on in this nation. All of them we have to view from a spiritual lens first. The things going on in the education system, the things going on with our divorce rates and marriage rates, all of these things must be viewed from a spiritual lens, and therefore, they must first have spiritual solutions first and foremost. But this does not extend just to the political arena. In your business and in your family, you need to have your eyes and ears attuned to the spiritual realm. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now, Seizures. We have a lot of scientific research and study done on seizures. Nowadays, if somebody has seizures, you go to the doctor and they say, oh, you got to take this medication. You've got to do this. You got to watch out for this, right? And they'll have all of these list of things to take care of the issue. But this is what Jesus did. It says in verse 17, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me here. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed at that moment. So this was not just a medical issue. It was a spiritual issue. There was a demonic force at work that was causing this boy to have seizures. So we have to be able to view things from a spiritual lens, which means that we need to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit and act accordingly. Now, this doesn't mean to say, and I'm not telling you, right? Every sickness you get means that there's a demon possessing you. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, maybe you ate some bad food, right? We still have to reap the consequences of our actions. What I'm saying is that we should be listening to the Holy Spirit rather than assuming what we see in the natural. Nowadays, if we saw a boy having seizures, we would assume it was a medical issue first and foremost. We wouldn't even think to ask the Holy Spirit. Because if it's a spiritual issue, then no matter how much you try to approach that problem in the natural, you will not be able to solve that problem. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just like the Israelites, it doesn't matter what kind of military strategy they could have tried to come up with to fight against the king of Assyria, unless they repented and turned their hearts back to God, they would not have succeeded. Right? It was a spiritual issue first. Now, we as the church are tasked to be the light. Some of you, for example, are called to the arts and the entertainment industry. That is an industry that is rife with spiritual issues. There is darkness in the arts and entertainment industry. So when God sends you there, you're not just to approach it as just doing business as usual. Okay, let's do a business transaction. Let's calculate the costs. Let's figure out what kind of movie we can get working, right? It's not just a financial problem you're trying to solve. It is a spiritual issue. Some of you, God maybe has sent to the real estate and development place. Some of you, God has sent to the tech space. Some of you, God has sent to education. Wherever it is that God has sent you, there are spiritual issues there that God has placed you there to resolve. And for too long, the church has pulled out of these influential spaces in society, okay? We pulled out of education. We pulled out of the entertainment industry. We pulled out of the tech industry. We yielded it to the world and to Satan. And look at what has happened to it. And I say, no more. We are not going to yield any more ground to Satan. We're not going to yield any more to him. God has called his church to now become an occupying force, which means that we are being sent out to take land for the kingdom of God. It is God's perfect will that the arts and entertainment industry is controlled by majority Christians. It is God's intention that the tech industry, that all of the innovation and the new inventions coming out of the tech industry are coming from the church, right? Where are the innovative Christians that are changing the course of history? That's who God wants to raise up in this moment. It's God's intention that the pillars of our education system are held and maintained and supported by his church. That is God's intention, and that we would no longer yield any of that ground to Satan. But remember this, okay? Because sometimes, especially since I've talked about politics and stuff like that, remember, the enemy is not individual people, right? You may have your political person that you just can't stand that person. Every time they come on the news, they just get your blood pressure going up, okay? Remember that we have to look at things spiritually first. We do not wage war against flesh and blood, right? Spiritual forces. As it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is important because there's an expectation that you need to prepare yourself to go out into war, and that everywhere you're going, you could be engaging in spiritual warfare. Now, you don't want to be on the battlefield in your shorts and your flip-flops. And some of us, we go out into the world without putting on our armor. You do not know where the enemy may strike or where you may have to confront the devil. So we should have our full armor wherever we go, because the scripture doesn't say that you're not going to have to deal with the devil and that, you know, once you're saved, there's no problems. No, right there, there's an expectation that you need to be able to take a stand against the schemes of the devil. That means that he may show up and it's your job to drive him away. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against powers of darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is the enemy, right? Not an individual person. And maybe that person, maybe they're spewing vile things at you, but you have to be able to look past that and recognize that that is a lost soul that God wants to reconcile back to himself. And so your job is, I'm going to uproot and I'm going to tear down those spiritual forces of evil that are at work in their lives. It's a really different mindset. And then, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand against it. And after you have done everything to stand. Again, there's this expectation that evil will show up. You need to be equipped and ready that you can take your stand against the devil. And now if we go down to verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, the reason why the Apostle Paul mentions this is because when you're in warfare, you have to be alert at all times. You don't know when the enemy may strike. You don't know where trouble may come from. So you have to be alert. Your eyes got to be open. You got to be listening at any moment. We as the church need to begin carrying ourselves in this manner where we're praying without ceasing. You're going to work, your ear is attuned to the spiritual realm, and you're listening for when the devil may try to creep in and cause problems. You're going to a family reunion, your ear is still attuned to the spiritual realm. Your eyes are still open to the spiritual realm. We need to stop being complacent. Where, oh, I'm just going to entertain myself. I'm just going to do my own thing. Okay. Every day we wake up, we should be praying in the Spirit continually, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us. Because even now, you may not realize it, you may now be involved in a spiritual battle. It could be for your family. It could be at your job. And you could be today, if you choose to obey the Lord, you could start being the light in your workplace. And all of us as Christians, we have to do this individually in our own personal lives. And as we walk this as individuals, all of us as a community, we will begin shining light in every sector of society. And that is what is going to turn this nation towards righteousness. The time of the church giving up ground to Satan is over. We are not going to back down anymore from the pillars of our society. We are going to occupy them. Because just think of all the ruins and devastation that have happened over the past several decades. Look at all of the horrible, wicked things that have come out of the arts and entertainment industry. Look at what has happened to our marriage rates and divorce rates. In the 1960s, 90% or more of kids growing up, grew up with both parents in the home. And since then, each decade, that has been decreasing. Why? Because the church was not being the light it was supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to be the example for the world. Now, I know I said at the beginning that I actually have words of encouragement for you. And it's true. I do have words of encouragement for you because the tide is now turning in this nation. And actually, much of the change is happening because of the young generation. For example, concerning the marriage statistics that I just told you, in recent years, it is the first time in decades that the number of children growing up in households with both parents has begun trending upwards, not downwards. There is currently a cultural shift that's happening among the young adults of this nation. Here's a statistic from The Atlantic by Professor Wilcox. In 1970, 85% of kids grew up in a house with both parents in the household. In 2015, 64% of kids grew up in a household with both parents. But now, in 2024, that number is at 66%. It's a small increase. But, and you can't see the chart. It's in front of me. I have a chart in front of me right now. That line has been going down since the 70s. This is the first time that trend line has started going up. Now you're talking about 50 years. That's good news, guys. Here's another report, this time by Family Studies, and they have the same exact results. Their numbers are slightly different, but the trend line is the same. The number of kids growing up in two-parent households is not decreasing anymore. It has begun going up. And this is happening because of the attitudes of young people. Listen to this headline from, and I've just took a screenshot in front of me. It says, could Gen Z change sinking marriage rates? Another one, Gen Z is more pro-marriage than their parents. Gen Z has a different attitude about relationships and marriage than millennials did 20 years ago. And from Family Studies, the resurgence of the two-parent family. Now, Gen Z was a generation that grew up at the bottom of this peak, where one in three Gen Z kids grew up in a single-parent household. And not only that, they grew up seeing the ruins of millennials and Gen X trying all of these alternative relationship methods, right? Doing friends with benefits. Oh, we'll try polyamorous. Oh, we're going to try doing one night stands and all these things. They grew up seeing all of the problems and all of the issues that came out of it. And now they're looking for something better. They're looking for something real, which is why there is this increased interest in marriage. This is where the church, we need to begin being the light. Right now, the youth of this nation are looking for something that is real, that is true. And we, the church, can point them to Christ. Okay, now this is just one area where the culture has begun shifting in a different direction. And I don't have time to go over, you know, many of the different areas where attitudes about pornography are changing. Attitudes about cursing are changing, about drinking and partying. It's really amazing the shift that is happening amongst the younger generation. But the church needs to be in position now. We have to point the way to Christ because God has now provided a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where the new generation is hungry for the truth. They want to find it. So we need to be the light that God called us to be. Now, something that I want to note, though, and we'll go back to the marriage thing here, which is that we aren't going back to the 1960s or the 1950s, okay? In the past, and this is something that we need to understand about the move of God in general, there were good things that happened in the past. There was good things about the past. But God is not taking us back to the 1950s. God is actually trying to take us further forward and further higher. Because let's face it, there was good things, you know, in the past, but it wasn't perfect either. Here's one such example. Did you know that in 1965, the average time that American fathers spent on childcare per week with their children was 2.5 hours a week? That was the average that a father would spend in childcare with their children. Meanwhile, mothers, if they were working, were averaging 10 to 12 or 13 hours a week on childcare. And if they weren't working, then it was like 18 to 22 hours a week. Just childcare, right? This is not other chores and stuff like that. Now, this is how this trend line has changed in the modern day. In 2024, this is now the new generation of parents. In 2024, American fathers spend an average of 9 hours per week on childcare. That is a dramatic change, right? So the mothers, they still spend more time with the kids, but the fathers are way more involved in this new generation of parents. That means, yeah, we're not going back to the 60s. They're actually forging something new and something better. And that's where God actually wants to bring us, right? We're going to learn from the past, take the good parts, but we're also not going to repeat the mistakes of the past. Think of all the positive effects that will happen from the average father spending more time with their kids. This is something that you couldn't even measure, but future generations will benefit so immensely from this one cultural shift. And let me tell you, there's so many of these little shifts that are happening across our society. The move of God is here now, guys. It's happening. And this is part of a manifestation, actually, of a prophetic word that was released at Freedom Fellowship Church, and I believe it was back in 2010 or sometime around then, around 2010. And it was that Christianity is going to become cool. Now, at the time when this prophetic word, I remember I was sitting there in the church service and this prophecy hit the floor, and I was in high school at the time, okay? And I remember rolling my eyes thinking, that is so absurd, the idea that Christianity could be cool. Because even me, I grew up in church. But for me, even for me, Christianity was like, oh, well, I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to say these things. I'm not allowed to watch these things. And my friends can go do this, but I can't do this because I'm a Christian, right? Christianity had become a list of do's and don'ts. When in reality, and this is something that God has been changing our mindset completely, Christianity is not a list about do's and don'ts. Christianity is about walking with the Lord and discovering his goodness, discovering his love, and realizing how fulfilling that can be and how joyous that can make your life. And you see, out there in the world, people who pursue drugs, sex, gambling, whatever it is, you know, money, riches, fame, all of these things, partying, all of those things, they pale in comparison to the joy that you will have when you are walking with the Lord. That's the truth. It is a cheap imitation of the joy you can have in Christ. So Christianity is actually something that is desirable. It's something that will make your life more full of joy and meaning than anything else in the world. And when Christianity becomes that in the cultural psyche, then yeah, Christianity will become cool again. Because people will realize, this is a life that I want to live. This is how I want to live. And that's why you notice some of these trends are shifting. The younger generation, they're moving away from different kinds of hedonistic pleasure. You know, and there's still problems. I'm not saying that things aren't perfect, right? There's all kinds of problems that have come out of social media, technology, all of these things. But they're looking for something that's real. And we, the church, if we decide, you know what? I'm going to begin being the light. I'm going to begin walking with Christ and obeying him today. We can begin pointing people to Christ. And you can be a part of this dramatic revival that God is stirring up in this nation. And let me tell you, the United States of America will never be the same again. So hopefully that's been encouraging to you. There's things that are happening in this nation. So get excited, guys, and start obeying God today. But I am out of time for this week. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And as a reminder, Pastor Chris is getting ready to go to the Philippines in October. You see, God is preparing the Philippines for revival just as he's preparing the United States of America for revival. So we're sowing seeds in those nations so that we'll pray to the Lord that we'll reap a harvest here in America. So if God is leading you to sow a seed in the Philippine mission, I encourage you also to go to our website, sogmi.org, and hit the donate button. But until next time, my name is Joshua Sasso. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.